Hello and welcome to this podcast from the Business Marketing Club, or BMC. I'm Dave Stevens, I'm a business marketer and I'm chair and co-founder of the BMC. The Business Marketing Club is a not-for-profit community network of business marketing professionals and people interested in business marketing. It's run by business marketers for business marketers, and we provide face-to-face and virtual event meetups, training, podcasts, blogs, newsletters, mentoring, social media groups, community groups, and gatherings for business marketers. Today, we have almost 5,000 participants across the world. If, though, this is the first time you've joined us, you're very welcome. Check us out at businessmarketingclub.org.uk. If you've been with us before, well, welcome back. It's really good to have you along again. Every profession needs its heroes, the people who have the courage to challenge convention, drive outstanding achievement, and give the discipline a noble name. In this episode, we'll be speaking in depth to one such hero, learn about what they do, how they've got here, and a bit about what's made them who they are today. Are you listening comfortably? Then we'll begin. I'm delighted to be joined today by the head of marketing at Addleshaw Goddard, Brian McCready. Brian, welcome to the podcast. How are you doing?
Hello, mate. How's it going? Lovely to see you on a Friday.
It's lovely to see you as well. In fact, given that we're only you and I can
see. Should
I
say that again? Lovely to hear you.
We're doing this over audio, so you should describe for us, where are we finding you today?
So I'm in lovely South London, sitting in my living room and doing the real estate industry some good. I've got some building work going on. So if you hear some crash, bang, wallop, don't worry about me. My health is not at risk. I'm getting some a floor rebuilt. But it's lovely talking to you again, Dave. I hope you're well.
I'm really well. It sounds like you've got multiple projects going on in the background whilst also focusing on being head of marketing at AG. So I'm very impressed. Multitasking.
I just hope this is one of these podcasts where the roof collapses on my head right in the middle of it. At least you'll get an exclusive.
Okay, that's something people can be waiting for. They'll be fast forwarding through the podcast now, waiting for the sound effect.
For the ambulance.
So Brian, what does the head of marketing role at Addleshaw Goddard entail?
So I suspect it's much like other people's roles. So I have reporting to me a design team, a digital web team, a campaign team, an events team. And I guess, like probably most people listening, you know, there's a mixture of day-to-day routine where we're just trying to fill the events that we're running, producing sales tools for people, worrying about our click-throughs, investing in the team. But I also happy to say I get involved in some of the more strategic aspects of the firm, really considering our proposition, future innovations that might be required, whether our client experience are outperforming our rivals, and really looking at how we're going to compete more effectively. So I'm fortunate to have a mixture of day-to-day grind and some bigger picture thinking.
So, and that's quite interesting because you talked about in your answer there, you gave us a load of tactics like click-throughs, but you also gave us a real focus upon strategy and link to business development. So do you have a kind of clear understanding then of how your activity supports the business?
Yeah, sure. A pretty clear one. And it, again, it straddles two things where there are some immediate needs where right here, right now, you want to get seen ahead of others. We want to reveal immediate tactical opportunity. We need to articulate when people engage with us, why should you choose us? How can we help? So there's some of those more immediate tactical things that we have to do. You know, we've all got quarterly or annual targets that we need to hit. But I also, looking further ahead, you know, I try and learn what is and isn't working, like probably the rest of the audience, so we can inform our future decisions. And ultimately, I feel, you know, marketing has to be here to help our businesses compete and to help us grow. And you can't just do that with a few more social posts. The world is too fiercely contested for that. So, I think I've got a pretty good balance in my world of near-term, short-term, must-dos, must-haves, and some longer-term planning for the future that's going to, you know, equip us to win going forward.
And if you look across that spectrum and kind of let's apply the emotion to it then. So what are the bits that you really enjoy? And conversely, what are the bits that actually you think, oh my God, these are going to be tough. I'm not looking forward to tackling these challenges.
I'll start with the tough stuff first. Same as it ever was, same as it's been in my entire career, the challenge is always competition. This would be easy if it wasn't for, you know, our pesky rivals trying to outcompete us. That will never go away. You know, we're competing with everything else that's going on in client agendas and target agenda. Everything that's going on in our clients' inboxes and in their itineraries and in their schedules, and everyone else competing for their attention. And for most marketers I've ever met, myself included, where the challenge is always prioritization, there's always more to be done than there is possibly time in the day to do them. And so it is complex, but most of it stems from competition. I think I'm probably guilty of, like you and most others, that we all take on too much because we're just so desperate to do a great job. And so I'm competing with myself as well. I find my own worst enemy. But in terms of what I enjoy, yeah, I love trying new things, and I love them when they work. And even when they don't work, I'm proud of myself for trying new things, as long as we can learn and apply that learning. I'm proud when we do things that our rivals haven't dared to do. And I love it when we see the results coming at the back end.
Because actually, we didn't say, I realise, and this is my fault, because Adelshaw Goddard, we haven't even explained who Adelshaw Goddard are. So perhaps we should go back a little bit. So Adelshaw Goddard, big law firm, well-established in the UK, right?
Absolutely. So I'm head of marketing for Adelshaw Goddard. We're a global law firm. We've got offices in all around the world, throughout the Middle East, Asia, and continental Europe and the UK. It's about a 250-year-old business. And I was really proud. I think I was their first ever head of marketing. So I was really, really proud to take that. But yeah, we're an international business law firm, helping big clients like Volkswagen and many of the banks to kind of succeed. And we focus entirely on how we can bring smart solutions to them to deliver impact for them.
And your personal how you got here story is really interesting, right? Because people listening to this who've never met you before, they'll be thinking, oh, right, okay, here we go. A dyed-in-the-wool law marketing person. So tell me, Brian, where did you start out?
So this story's a bit wild. So I was a physicist. I studied physics at university, got a job in the defence industry, applying that, doing all sorts of stuff I can't talk about because I've signed the Official Secrets Act a few times. And that was my path ahead. I had an utterly naive attempt to try and get into NASA at one point. I wanted to, plan A was to become an astronaut, and realised they didn't give kids from South London, 21-year-olds, instant job as an astronaut. So
you've just got to be rich now. You don't need to be qualified in any way, shape, or form. Hell, William Shatner can get up there.
So maybe I need to like win the lottery, and maybe I'll still get my chance to go up into orbit. But that was the plan. But didn't get a job at NASA. The so-and-sos didn't take me on. Got a job in the defence industry, and this really bizarre thing happened where I just suddenly realised, much to my surprise, that I was quite creative and I was quite good with clients. I had no idea, no experience of that, and the managing director of that business put me on a couple of sales and marketing courses, asked me to front some pitches, put me into some account management situations with some clients. And just took to it, and particularly when I did a few courses with the Chartered Institute of Marketing, the lights went on. I thought, I love this, and that the rest is history. I've been a B2B marketer ever since, over 20 years later, and never looked back. I love it.
So just take us through your kind of career steps getting you to Adelshaw Goddard then.
Sure. So I've worked in. So defense industry was my starting point, but my first real marketing job with any marketing responsibility was in a massive US telecoms business called AT&T. Spent about the next 10 years in a couple of different telecoms businesses there in the UK and in India. Had a few years working as the marketing director for sports and media at Getty Images, It's just an absolutely phenomenal product to work with, an absolutely phenomenal company. And then babies came along. My wife and I had children. I needed a domestic role. An opportunity came up with a UK law firm, which looked really interesting. And I found the law to be a really happy home. It's full of risk and emotional situations for human beings in the client world, making big, difficult decisions. And I just found it a great place to do marketing. So yeah, I've been in that for about a decade. And
the kind of career you describe, and I don't think this is unusual in any way, is kind of you discover your journey kind of as you go along, don't you, rather than necessarily having a plan for what you're going to do at the very start of your career. So that being the case, are there a couple of things maybe from your career journey that nonetheless people can take as learnings and look to kind of follow on as they themselves develop their own marketing career in B2B?
Yeah, certainly. So I feel pretty fortunate that I've had marketing positions that required as much investment into things like product development and pricing and business strategy and business case development as much as I've ever done marketing communications. And I feel quite fortunate because I don't know that a lot of marketers have had that opportunity. Mm. But I think in lieu of that, because it has helped me prosper, I believe, if those opportunities aren't coming your way, I think it's useful for marketers to try and thrust themselves into those situations, volunteer at work to get involved in those things, to broaden the horizons beyond some of the communications that we focus so much on now. And if, you know, those opportunities aren't coming your way, you know, I'm a pretty avid reader. I read absolutely everything purposely, not just about account-based marketing or content marketing or video or SEO or anything. I read about other disciplines. And you know, we all watched the Olympics with awe again in the summer from Tokyo. And you know, we just saw the hard work and dedication and yeah, I've put absolutely years of quite hard work into honing creativity skills, honing copywriting skills, honing strategic thinking, reading about pricing strategy. And I think the secret to success is no secret, really. It's hard work, graft, and pushing yourself into areas that are unfamiliar to you.
So that being the case, looking at business marketing overall, you're well equipped to tell us, Brian, what's the latest in business marketing?
So the latest, it's been really, I think the answer varies depending on who we all are in the industry. And I think the latest, if you're a new talent to the industry, into the profession, the young up and coming talent that's coming through, yeah. Like we've all done, the first few years is just grasp the basics, you know, invest in copywriting skills, learn how to run an A-B test, understand how advertising works. You know, we've got to, you know, the answer to that question is different if you're just new to the profession and you've just got to get the basic essential skills and build your confidence platform and graft. But what's the latest for, I guess, the more senior people? Well, it's been really nice, I think, after probably a decade of people ignoring it, that we're back to talking about brand and looking at longer term returns. You knew I was going to say this, Dave. But, you know, I think the latest is back to actually almost the oldest. It's thinking about the long term. It's thinking about how to win against competition. It's thinking about how to be distinctive. It's thinking about brand. It's thinking about strategy. Mm. So I think that we're coming back to that because I think that people now realize there is so much noise on content and going out on our social channels. There are so many webinars going out that you can optimize those till kingdom come, and it's not going to make you necessarily win against your 20 other rivals that are doing exactly the same thing. So I think there's a, you know, the latest is, I think, a return to longer term thinking is at least what I hope for our profession.
Kind of interesting that, because I wonder how, because I agree with you, and I wonder how much of that is kind of a reaction to COVID. You know, the pandemic has brought so much uncertainty to markets, that there's kind of almost a rush back to the marketing basics to kind of reassure ourselves that those things are still right and still true in a dramatically different environment.
I think that's true. In fact, I think you can date some of the trends even further back. You know, I know went through the global financial crisis 2008, 2009 and beyond, and that coupled with exactly the same time a real, you know, the birth of modern marketing technology, the world had to focus on living hand to mouth. Short term ROI became, you know, just survival back in that financial period. And coupled with all of a sudden now we had the tools to help us work out what was working in the short term, particularly digitally. So I think the stars aligned back in, you know, 10, 12 years ago. And that's why I think the industry, our profession became much more short term focused, because we could and because we had to. And I think we had a decade of optimizing everything and you know, really thinking through our processes and our go-to-market strategies around demonstrating short-term ROI. But I think you're right, now we've come through the other side of it. The volume of material, the volume of content out there means that actually something else has got to give if we want to compete with comparable rivals, with comparable services and comparable communications. Something we've got to be a bit different. And that's where, you know, the traditional skills, I don't mean cold calling and fax marketing and spamming people. I don't mean that traditional stuff. I mean the disciplines of actually having a strategy for how you're going to win against, you know, comparable competitors.
And you and I are kind of both old enough to have seen this the first time around, or at least the last time around. I wonder whether you've got any kind of tips for those people who are, the risk of this phrase, going back to basics now, you know, how can we make sure we do it better this time?
It's a great question. So it's, you're not going to sound like a couple of old timers on this podcast, Dave. But, you know, I think we do have the benefit of having been through a few recessions each probably now. You know, I think one thing that isn't going to change, I don't think the absolute critical requirement for sales alignment and hitting immediate results is ever going to change. So I think the daily pressures on us on you know, ROI, click-throughs, short-term metrics, I don't think are going to change. In terms of doing it better, you know, going forward, it comes down to understanding the niches that we're going to occupy, understanding the propositions to win, understanding evolving client demands. It's back to the, you know, the basics have always stood us in good stead. Like, listen to the market, conduct research, have a plan, be ready to change the plan if things change. You know, we do have to be agile, but you know, just being agile without having some kind of course and speed and understanding about how we're going to beat our rivals is not a proven 100-year formula for success. Mm-hmm. I think the basics are the secret ingredient to actually helping us to win, coupled then with absolutely immaculate execution and monitoring and optimization. I think it's the balance of the two. I did, and I think you knew I was probably going to do this because I've written a few poems of late, which have got me a little bit of notoriety.
You did a poem on the last podcast.
I did, yeah. I got some interesting comments on that. But I did. I've written a poem about this, but what I think it takes to win. And I hope this isn't too cringeworthy. My last one on lead generation, I don't know how that went down, but if you'll forgive me, I wrote a quick poem about what I think the secret ingredient is.
We'd love to hear it.
All right, give me. So I'm not an actor, right? So so forgive me, but I'll give it a whirl. This is called Be Different, which is a call to arms to my fellow B2B marketers. So we live in competitive times, fighting a competitive game. To stand out from fierce rivals, be different, not the same. Doing same things in same ways is competitively lame. Avoid me too marketing, be different, not the same. Vanilla content, vanilla products, vanilla pricing, it's too plain. Brands can't be like sheep, be different, not the same. Forget common practice if you seek superior gains. Zig when others zag is be different, not the same. Create new value for clients and innovate to solve their pains. The golden rule of marketing is be different, not the same. So build remarkable things and communicate in remarkable ways. Don't default to conforming. Be different, not the same. Break eggs, break molds. It's the path to brand fame. There are riches in store when you are different, not the same.
I'm so envious of your marketing poetry. I think there's a whole area, mate, that you could really break into on this and be the business marketing poet.
Yeah, I'm sure there's probably at least 3 books to be sold on that. I can't imagine that's going to take me out of my day job. I'll stick to marketing, I think.
On the topic itself, and I'd like to come into the poetry bit as well, but on the topic itself, be different or be distinctive?
This feels so. For those that have been following the Byron Sharp, Mark Ritson debates over the years, either one. I don't want to get into word semantics. Some people will argue to be distinctive and some on differentiation. Either one, whichever works, I think is the same. But at its core is this message in, I just don't think, there's a common adage, I'm sure you'll have heard it, that you can't achieve uncommon success with common tactics, or you can't achieve exceptional returns with average tactics. That there's various ways of articulating it, but the truth at the heart of it is, if you're not pushing boundaries and offering something different to your rivals, then it's a lottery whether you're going to win or not, in my opinion.
And looking at the poetry piece, I'm interested, is that because you as I said, the last time you were on a podcast, you did a lead generation, as I remember, lead generation poem. What prompts you or drives you to that? Is it that need to be different and to stand out, or actually is it the creative process that excites you about it? What gets us to a point where you dropped me a line over the weekend? You said, Dave, I really want to put a poem into our interview. What motivates you to do that?
And just for the audience, Dave's response was, get a grip, man, grow up. No, I don't. No, it's not right. It didn't. I guess a little bit is, I preach to my colleagues that we're up against some really able rivals and we can't stand out from the crowd if we are identical to the crowd. And I preach that in my day job to my colleagues. They've been wonderful for years in supporting me with that. We're doing some really wonderful things with origami at the moment and some surrealism, some Picasso inspired work. I've got unicorns doing some stuff behind the scenes. It's a wonderful place where I work and they're supporting me to stand out. And so far it is reaping dividends. We are generating record numbers of leads. We're getting record amounts of engagement online. It is working, and I felt, as I was being asked about marketing, I couldn't be creative in work and not respond creatively to marketing questions. So I had to practice what I preach. So the poetry is just an attempt to live up to what I tell people at work, day in, day out, on an hourly basis.
We've got to the kind of the segment in our talk where we do our kind of desert island conversation, but you mentioned that you've been reading a lot, and actually reading is one of the things that really helps you build up your knowledge and experience in the profession. So is there a business marketing book that you would want to take with you if you were hypothetically stranded on a desert island?
Probably it would only serve us any use to as fire paper right on a desert island. But I'm a bit of a voracious reader. I read a lot of stuff, some heavy, some light, some creative, some not. But I'm going to suggest two books, if I may, that I've always found really useful, because it reminds me of the bigger picture of what we're really trying to do. And they're both strategy books. I think it's useful, you know, particularly as marketers start going through the management ranks in business, just to re-engage with actually how businesses really succeed. And the two that I've picked out, is one is called Good Strategy, Bad Strategy by Richard Rumelt, who's a sort of a world famous strategist, a really interesting guy. And the other one, which it's the common one that comes up all the time, but I still think it's great, is Blue Ocean Strategy by W. Chan Kim and Rene Malbone. So if anyone's looking for a strategy book, or haven't dived in, or haven't read one recently, those are two really helpful ones just to re-engage with the bigger picture, I think.
And is there one people should read first?
I read Richard Rumelt first, and I read Blue Ocean Strategy second. They're two very different takes on it. Blue Ocean Strategy probably more of a how-to guide, and Good Strategy, Bad Strategy more of a reason why this is so absolutely critical. But you know, there is just talking seriously for a moment. You know, there's been a lot of research and surveys over the years that we have. Marketers aren't always invited into the boardroom. We're not always asked for advice or opinion on some of the bigger leaps and future growth potential for businesses. We don't always get the best feedback from some CEOs around the world. And I think it's because we need to get away from just purely tactical thinking into more strategic thinking. And so I find that, if nothing else, these books help remind us about what actually is going on in the rooms that really matter in our businesses. And you know, if we're able to advise our CEOs and our managing partners, you know, we need to be able to understand how strategy works. So I think those books present life skills for each one of us.
And if I were to kind of extend the Desert Island to a business marketing website or a business marketing model, are there things in those spaces you would recommend?
Oh, that's a good question. Not business marketing there. I'm going to come on to them, I think, shortly. I think we'll talk about agencies for a moment. And I know we're going to invite a future guest to your desert island with you. Sure. I try and keep up with a lot of what some of the best agencies out there are doing. And so I'm not a particular website, not a particular model, but I do follow a lot of the... some of the world's biggest and best agencies on Twitter heavily, and look at what they're doing on their websites and their latest examples of work. You know, people like Uncommon stuff, you know, doing some uncommonly wonderful work. There's a lot of agencies out there, go take your pick. But I try and just keep up with how other people are tackling some of the challenges that we all face.
Speaking of which then, who is the person I should interview next, and why?
So I'll give you that in 5 seconds. I just want to name check a few people, if you'll forgive
me. Yeah,
you know, I just want to give a bit, because I'm going to recommend that you invite a representative from an agency onto a future podcast. And there are absolutely stacks of agencies that impress me, or that I'm absolutely delighted to work with now. So I just want to reference a few, because I couldn't nominate somebody from all of them. But you know, if you'll forgive me just a second,
I was very strict. I said I only
you were pick one. So I'm just, you know, there are, you know, there's agencies like Earnest and True and Gasp and Really B2B, Radix. You know, I'm working with Mitten Williams and Constructive and Inc. in the allotment at the moment, and they're all serving me wonderfully well. But I've picked out one person that I've met a few times in the industry. I think she's a force of nature in a good way. Renee Edwards from Digital Radish, and how they got my attention. That they do all sorts of wonderful work for all sorts of wonderful people, but you know, some of the achievements that they've made on a relatively modest budget, I hope she'll forgive me for saying that, being really quite striking. They work at all sorts of scales of projects, no doubt. But Renee would be my recommended future BMC-er.
Brilliant. It'll be Renee I'll be interviewing for the next episode. So thank you for that recommendation. And going back to Addleshaw's and your work, if people want to find out more about your work, or maybe look at some of the best marketing that Adelshaw's has produced under your tenure? Is there somewhere they can go and take a look at it?
Depends if my rivals are listening to this podcast. No, I'm joking.
5,000 listeners, so it's possible.
Quite possible. So, yeah, you can go and check out our website, adelshawgoddard.com. I hope you'll get a sense that we're quite a special, quite different law firm. So you'll get a flavour for what's going on there.
Brian McCready, thanks very much for speaking with me today.
Thanks, Dave. I really appreciate it.
And that's all for this episode of the Business Marketing Club podcast. Thanks to my guest, Brian McCready. And thanks to our technical man from Through the Eye, Andrew Gratian. Most of all, though, thanks to you for listening. Do rate or review us if you can. And email me at davestevensnow@gmail.com if you'd like to be a speaker or offer feedback. There's more where this came from. Just go to businessmarketingclub.org.uk. I hope to see you again. Thanks for listening.